Hi guys, today's episode is a behind the scenes look at my nomadic life over the past 10 years and the nitty gritty of what it takes to design a lifestyle that's actually in alignment with your highest truth, with your creative potential, with your purpose fulfillment, and with your unique gifts and service to the world. What does that look like to design a life that looks however you want it to look? Because hello, that's what we're here to do. We're here to create. Our life is a beautiful divine game, and we're here to make of that what is the most in service for the planet. So what's inspired this episode today? I was just reflecting, now that it's 2020, that it's been 10 years since I started traveling, since I quit my job in the US, moved to Prague to teach English, and it never really stopped from there. And I will tell you, I had no idea. If you had told me that this was going to be 10 years of nomadic adventures and working in pretty much every field under the sun and meeting billions of people, not billions, but many people from all over the world and having all these experiences in probably 20 or 30 different countries, I never would have imagined it. One thing really led into the next, and I want to share this story with you guys as a reflection of this experience and as a way for you to see these steps and really the key pivot points and takeaways of what really made the biggest impact. So if you're looking to create a nomadic life or just looking to create a life outside the box, that's what this is really about. Creating a life on your terms, away from the society's expectations. These are going to be some of the key takeaways that you can take to do that. And just as well, if you've been curious how digital nomads do it, you know, whether it's myself or other people that you've seen that are creating a life on their own terms, you know, maybe that's nomadic or just entrepreneurial and conscious work in any way, this is kind of going to shine some light on the journey, and my journey at least, to that life and some of the struggles as well. Although, yeah, I feel like this episode could have been much longer to share so many of the ins and outs. This is a little bit just more of like the main points. Just know for every point I share, there were huge magical experiences and lots of dark times and shadows as well, because this is life. This is not a perfect thing. Like, the whole point of life is to go through the experiences and to learn and to grow and integrate the shadows, because they make us who we are. So without further ado, we're going to dive in, and I'm curious to hear what you guys think. Hi guys, today I am recording a solo show with the intent of dropping into what's been going down over the past 10 years. Ultimately, what I really, really want to transmit is peeling back the veil and showing behind the scenes of what it's like to create a nomadic life, and more than just a nomadic life, a life that's intentionally designed to be in alignment with our truth. You know, when we're on this wild ride of life, sometimes it can be hard to just take the time to look back and have a break and see, okay, here's where everything's integrated. You know, where have I grown? This is what flowed into that. So this is really just an exciting episode for me to record. So, you know, if you followed me at all over the past 10 years, you've probably seen all these travels, all these experiences. Maybe you've wondered, how the F does she do that? How does she work? Like, what is going on here? What's happening? So I want to peel back the veil on all of this and show behind the scenes. And yeah, if you're wondering, like, is this sustainable? Do you not get tired of traveling? Like, how do you have friends and relationships and all of this stuff? And how do you find work? Like, what? How do you make money doing traveling all around the world? I'm going to share all of that here. And if you have not been familiar with my journey, I will give you a bit of backstory and you'll be totally caught up. But yeah, so this is really for you if you're interested in escaping the matrix, leaving behind what society has deemed successful for us and what our life should look like, according to the air quotes, and stepping into our unique path, carving out a life boldly and fearlessly and taking leaps. So 10 years ago was 2010. Can you believe it? First of all, 2020, wow, it's crazy time. But it's been a jam-packed decade. 2010 was the year that I quit my job in the corporate world. I had been working in a law firm for about a year. This was 2 years outside of college. I had two corporate jobs, but my first lasted less than a year. I traveled to Italy to teach English for the summer and came back to the US to settle in and like do the successful thing, you know, get a proper job, pay off my college debt. So I worked in a law firm, and to be honest, I enjoyed the job. I had a lot of fun. There was great people. It was this whole, you know, sophisticated vibe. We were on the 61st floor of the big office building in Seattle, and it was fun. But you know, there was always this part of me that felt like I knew this was just a game. it felt like I'm playing a role. I'm playing the role of the corporate, you know, employee doing the law firm thing. And it never really felt like who I was. So there was one day I remember making copies and I was copying some binder, doing the literal paper pushing thing. And it just dropped into me. It was like, okay, you know, this game, we're done. We're done with this game right now. It's time for the next. It's time to explore. And I had always had this explorative, adventurous side to me. But maybe there's something just about being 23. But I felt so bold. And I went back to my computer and I just immediately started to Google, you know, how to live abroad. I knew in my heart I wanted to live outside America. Something in my intuition said, if you really want to create your life in the way that is going to be meaningful for you, if you want the space to figure out who the fuck you are, because we don't find that out in college or high school, let's be honest. We don't have the space to figure that out. We're told to pick our degree when we're 18 years old, the first semester of college. I think I pushed mine off to the second or the first semester of sophomore year, but still, 19 years old, are you kidding me? I needed to figure out who I was. I knew I had to leave America. I Googled these things and I found English teaching. Somehow I found out that Prague was where I wanted to go teach English. I believe I saw a website on Matador Network or something, which was talking about Prague. And I just decided, you know, I must have been much more decisive at this age than I am now. I feel like these days I spin around with decisions, but I decided I was moving to Prague to teach English. And that is what I did. I quit my job. I moved to Prague in 2010 to take a teaching English as a foreign language course. And this was amazing. This was really the in that I had to learn a new skill, to have a community of other expats. We had people from all over the world join this course, and they have these courses all over the world. So my first tip of the day would be, if you're looking for your first step to living abroad, moving abroad, I would really recommend taking a TEFL course or a TESOL or a CELTA. These are all highly acclaimed English as a second language teaching courses. You can become certified in a month, and you can be working in a school, making money, you know, with quite good stability and all of that within a couple of months if you are committed to it. So this was the path that I took. And it was also a path of acclimatizing to a new culture in a new country, Prague. I'm not going to get into all the details of how Prague was because we have a lot to cover over 10 years. But I'm just kidding. I will try not to make this boring. But it was a ride. I mean, it was the first thing I would say is, immersing in an expat community outside of the States or outside of your home country, it's such an opening experience. You're immediately connecting heart to heart with people from all over the world who are having a similar experience of building their life in a new way. And the other thing I would say as a tip for this was having my first job be completely based around people was so helpful. Being a teacher, learning how to teach, learning how to communicate to students who do not speak English as a first language and communicating solely through English to teach them was incredibly priceless for me as I continued to move into other countries and other jobs and other opportunities to learn how to work with people in this way, both children and adults. I taught preschool, I taught adults, I was tutoring business English, everything. I was hustling. So next little tip I learned was you got to hustle. If you're going to leave the corporate world, it's a hustle. I think that I was working from 7:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. in a preschool. And then the rest of my day, I was running around the metro. Half the year it was in snow. It was like 0 degrees, raining, muddy. I would take the metro and the bus like an hour to a private student's house where I would teach her for an hour. And granted, I was probably earning like the equivalent of $10 an hour. And then I would take the bus to Starbucks in the center to tutor this other beautiful man who was so cute. And that's another story. But all of these things, like running around the city to really make my way. But I felt so empowered. I was designing my life. The other thing I was doing when I lived in Prague was I had my foot in a little bit of freelance writing. I had some articles that I was writing for travel blogs. Very little. It was, yeah, just little things. But this was still teaching me ways that I could make my own way. And the next thing that really happened on this journey was 2 years in Prague. I lived there and built such a community, had amazing students. My second year I was working in a school, an elementary school, in an amazing English program. But I felt that it was time to take a leap. And this is the next thing I would say is it's so important to listen to your gut when you're designing your life. Once you've left the matrix, you're really listening to yourself. You're following your heart, you're following your intuition, following those pings. I had this ping that I needed to move to Asia, and it felt crazy at first. It felt so random. Like, I didn't know anyone in Asia. I didn't even know anyone who had lived in Asia, to be honest with you. And I was having these pulls towards Thailand. So there's long stories of how it all happened. I can just tell you guys, I moved to Thailand in 2012. And kind of like how I had done with Prague, I just knew I wanted to be in Chiang Mai. I had done my bit of research. I knew I wanted to be in a city where there were other expats and where there was community. But I didn't want to be in Bangkok. I did not want to be in a huge city. And I identified Chiang Mai in the north. It looked like the perfect blend of what I needed. This community, there was lots of things going on. And also, it's still connected to the local culture and authentic experience of Thailand. So after a summer of traveling Europe and teaching in summer camps, after I finished Prague, I moved to Thailand. And again, with the hustle, I went door to door from school to school, this time in sweltering heat. I remember, and you have to dress up to go for jobs there. This is back like, oh man, back when I was going for in-person jobs. And you know, it's funny because nowadays people are teaching English online. I know so many people who teach English online. This wasn't a thing back then. This was in 2012. VIP Kid, all these teaching English sites were not a thing. I was walking door to door with this jacket, with like dress skirt on, with sand, with like dress shoes in Thailand. It was crazy because you have to look really nice when you go drop off your resume. So eventually I got an English teaching job and I moved in with expats. I ended up really immersing in this community in Thailand. And this was such an important key. So I just want to share with you guys, having a tribe and finding your tribe is so key to growth. And the most important thing though, is when you're in line, when you're being your true self, when you're stripping away all this stuff that isn't you, like I had shed this old corporate life. I had shed my country for a while, not forever, but I had really stepped into this adventurous side of myself. I was learning how to drive a scooter. I was learning how to find jobs in foreign countries. And I was excited. And I remember I was drawing and writing and all of these things, being artistic. So being your true self attracts your authentic tribe. I was meeting people that were creative and inspiring. And this was such a huge part of my journey. So I think it was about 3 months into my first few months in Thailand, where I had a real turning point. And this is kind of getting more into the entrepreneurial side of the journey, which probably will be a big part of this episode. I really want to share with you guys the ins and outs of what I've been creating and how you can, you know, really identify your purpose and your skills and your gifts and use those to sustain your lifestyle, whether you're nomad or not. So this was 3 months in, and we had just had a new housemate move into my house, and he was a web developer. And he was looking for someone to help do graphic design for one of his clients. And this person and I became very close. We ended up dating for a number of years and having a very, very, very intense relationship, which completely shaped so much of my life thereafter. But I did not know any of this at the time. He was just my new housemate. And he asked me, he said, "Kristen, do you do design work?" Because he knew that I was artistic and creative. And I said, "Well, not really. I don't know much. I know a bit about design principles and things." But he needed some tea labels made for a client that he was building a website for. And the long story short is I learned how to use Adobe Illustrator in a couple of hours, showed him what I could do. And he was like, "Great, fantastic. I'd love you to create these tea labels for me or for my client." And then he offered to pay me like $40 an hour. And at the time, this just blew my mind, right? I had never earned more than probably, I don't know, $15 an hour, even in corporate full-time work, because when you break it down, it's like, it's crazy. And so this blew my mind, just the fact that I could earn money from my laptop way more than I had ever earned in any other job. And then I believe something with this particular role shifted where it was like, okay, he'll just pay me to create X number of labels. And this really shifted my mind. And this was around the time that I read the 4-Hour Workweek, because then I started to realize that the more proficient I became at designing these labels, I could separate my time from my income. And this was a huge insight for me, because my whole life I had just learned you get paid by the hour. You know, you sit in the office, you do the work, or even at teaching, you know, I got paid X per hour. My time was equal to my money. And this was the first opportunity that I had to see that the more that I could improve with this skill, I would get paid the same for the results that I provided, but not for the time that I put in. So as I got better and my time went down, the less time it would take me to do the same work, I would still earn that same income. And this was a huge piece for my entrepreneurial journey. So that's another tip I want to give you guys. Time is not equal to money. And it's very important to find ways to scale yourself, to scale your work, so you aren't separating your time from your money. So after that little bit of, you know, opening my mind to what's possible, I can work online, I started to see that there were a lot of people around me in Chiang Mai that seemed to be location independent. They seemed to be working from their laptops as web designers or writers. I started to be curious, what is this? You know, I love teaching kids, I loved teaching, but I didn't really love having to get dressed up every day, drive through traffic and go to school, because yes, there is still traffic in Chiang Mai. Yes, I was driving on a motor scooter, so it was more exciting. But I was like, you know, I would really love to be able to, you know, go to the islands and keep working there and do these other things I see other people doing. So I started to put my feelers out for some online work. And lo and behold, my first online job came in. And this was such an amazing pivot point for the journey as well, was I found a job working for a life coach for a company called Sensify. And shout out to Jacob, if you're listening, you were like 100% probably one of my hugest catalysts for this whole journey, to start working with your company, with this company, and supporting people on their path to purpose. We were working with people looking for what they want to do with their life. And my role was to support the business. I was helping with the logistics and setting up online communities and doing email support. And eventually, we ended up planning retreats in Bali. So we created life coaching retreats for people to come out and uncover their purpose and do all this work on themselves. So this was huge for me. I was very fortunate to find a job in a field, in an industry that very, very much excited me. So as a psychology major, I had always loved working with, you know, the psyche and with purpose and thinking about what it is we really, you know, how do we tick? What is happiness about? What is purpose about? What is the meaning of our life all about? But traditional psychology never really seemed to cut it for me. I was very interested in the field of positive psychology. And I didn't really get into this in the beginning, but my path after college was very nearly to go get my master's degree in organizational psychology or positive organizational psychology. And at the last minute, I decided not to send these letters. I decided to hold off and to get a job for a few years and then to see if the master's degree still called to me. And this, of course, ended up in 10 years of travel. But this field of life coaching really interested me because it really worked with positive psychology and the work that I saw Jacob doing with his clients and the work that I was a part of in our community was about helping people to rise and access their own intuition, not about putting the power in some outside therapist or putting the power in the traumas from our past. So this was really important. So really another important aspect of this was I had found a job that allowed me to learn so many different skills and I got paid for it. It supported my life. I was learning how to build community. I was learning how an online business runs. I was learning about marketing and retreat planning and website design and copywriting and all these different things. So really, if you're looking to become nomadic or become location independent or just to leave your job and find a non-traditional work situation, look for an opportunity that is paying you to learn lots and lots of different skills, especially if you're more in the beginning of your journey, because then you'll get to see what you really love to do, what you're great at, and you'll have a huge, you know, bucket of items that you can pick from. You can pick from all these different areas that you can choose to then become an expert in later on. So that was really fortunate. And feel free to ask, you know, when you're, if you're looking for online jobs, just say, hey, these are the things that I would love to offer you and love to grow in. I would love to grow in the areas of writing and marketing and social media or event planning, whatever it is that you want to do. Don't be afraid to tell people this is where you want to grow, especially if you're applying for VA jobs in the beginning, which is virtual assistant. That's a great place to start if you're in the beginning of your journey. So just to continue on with this was like from 2013 to 2015, such an amazing experience working with Jacob and Sensify, you know, and it was such a great opportunity as well to really explore what I wanted to do with my life. So I am all for having a job as you're building your thing, as you're exploring your passions. I had location freedom. So now I could work from anywhere. That was the cool part about this. I could work from my laptop and do my work remotely. So I was able to, you know, go to Bali, obviously, for the retreats that we were running. I also was able to go to India to do a yoga teacher training. I studied yoga and was able to just explore these passions and explore getting trainings and doing more of this type of thing. So while I had a job, so I would say, don't pressure yourself to monetize your passion right away. You need space to explore and you need space to figure out who you are. So important. So yes, like over these years, I studied Ayurveda. I was learning about retreat planning and retreat production with Sensifi, starting to teach yoga. And my passion started to meld with my work. So this is the next thing. As you continue on your path and really dive into the passions without needing them to support you financially, you'll notice they'll probably start to meld into what you're doing for your work anyway. You'll start to attract clients. People will start to want to come, you know, practice yoga with you or work with you as a coach or whatever it is, you know, a holistic nutritionist, whatever area that you're studying, people will start to be interested and you'll naturally start to bring that into everything that you do, into your conversations, when you're meeting up with people, when you're, you know, sharing what you're passionate about. This is going to start coming through. So your life's work can be this natural progression. Yeah. So the other thing that was happening around this time was I was really learning about community. I was learning about different kinds of community. So if we think about the West or, you know, America, I don't know. I don't want to just put this on America, but that's my background. So that's where I'm from. As far as I know, there was not a huge sense of this collective community. After college, you're pretty much on your own. You work your job. You either have a partner or you're single. You go out at night, find friends or whatever. And then, you know, it was just harder. You know, obviously there's clubs and meetups and things, but what I discovered as an expat and being in these communities, first of all, the life coaching communities. And then as I was in Chiang Mai, it became really these entrepreneurial, creative communities, yoga and spiritual in Bali, all of it was that it is so important for our growth to have a community of creatives. We co-created a house together called the Thrive Hive with some of the Sensifi community after a retreat. And this was my first experience living in a big house with other creators, people building things and writing and sharing and speaking. And we created workshops together. I remember I presented a workshop on Ayurveda and everyone got to share a little bit of what their particular skill was so we could learn from each other. And this was so profound. And it's really been woven into everything I've been doing up until today. And you know, I really, really recommend to become a part of a community if you can. There's so many resources out there to be a part of intentional communities, whether those are more eco communities or whether you're on Workaway volunteering or whether you come out to Chiang Mai where there's a huge digital nomad community. Basically, if you're looking for communities out there in the world, just send me a message on Facebook or through my website or something and I will hook you up because there are so many and they're amazing. So now where are we? We're about halfway through the years. I hope this is not too boring. But there's some more good stuff to come, let me tell you. So in 2015, I went to Costa Rica. At this point, I was really on the path of building my own business. So I knew that I also wanted to be a coach. I wanted to teach yoga. I wanted to run retreats. I wanted to do this work in the world that is helping people to rise into their purpose and their power and their truth. And I knew that I needed more training to do this. So I went to Costa Rica to work with a business coach and wellness expert and to help grow my business. And the long story short is when I was in Costa Rica, I got hit by a wave. I got hit by a wave. Who does that? Who gets hit by a wave? I was not surfing. I was not even swimming. I was probably not even looking all that classy in the water. Definitely not Instagram worthy. And I got hit by a wave. It just smacked me down. It broke my tibia. The very long story short, I had a surgery in Costa Rica and then I went home and I had to be on crutches for 3 months. So all of this, there was like so many more nuances to all of this that happened where I had to really learn how to take care of myself and bounce back and be self-sufficient. There was like 2 weeks I had in Costa Rica before my flight where I was just staying in this hotel by myself on crutches, like with this physical therapist coming to visit me. And I was just like, yeah, I don't know. At this point, the reason I shared this part of the story, and it's funny that it was halfway through the decade, was this is where I learned that I needed to ground. It's so important to have grounding and to have a very, very clear focus on what it is that we want and need. So at this point, I did fly home for 3 months. I was on crutches. And I was so clear that the only goal in my life at this point was to walk. The only goal was to walk, to get strong, and to walk again. And it was grounding, you know. I had to give up an opportunity to be present for another one of our retreats in Bali with Sensifi. I stayed home and I was healing. And it was very grounding. So, you know, if you are in a nomadic lifestyle or pursuing a nomadic lifestyle, it's so important to keep, to have these elements of grounding in there, where you have spaces and times where you're not moving around. This was the universe telling me, it's time to slow down, Kristen. It's time to take a little chill pill and focus on your body, focus on your self-care, focus on walking again. And this really gave me a huge appreciation for just the freedom that I was taking for granted a bit. The freedom to, not just the freedom to travel the world with my remote job and all of this, but the walking, like the freedom to walk. It was huge. But after this, I got the clearance from the doctor that I could put weight on my foot again, and I bought a ticket back to Bali. So here I am on my crutches going through the airport with my backpack. I'm back to Bali. This is where I saw the true dedication I had to this lifestyle. And again, I'm going to turn this into another tip for you guys. Really start, take the time out, take breaks to see what is your why. Really get clear, what is your why for the life that you're designing? Whatever that may be. Again, this is not just about nomadic life. If you're in a partnership, if you're in a job, if you're creating a business, if you're building a family, what is your why? Where does your dedication come from? And really take time to ground into that and take those moments to say, yeah, this is what's worth fighting for. For me, there was something pulling me on this path. I don't even know really what it was. So maybe this doesn't sound very clear, but as soon as my leg was ready to heal, like if I had wanted an out, this would have been a great excuse to just kind of like, you know, ground back in, get a stable life back again. No, I was freaking off to Bali. And the second phase of the nomadic journey after this point was very profound. This was more of the creative part of my journey. I began creating more. I took a coaching training, so I became a certified holistic health coach. Nowadays, I weave health coaching into my work, but the work that I do is more based around creativity, purpose, and energy, and spirituality, and things like this. But and also helping people to step into remote lifestyle and business and everything. But I did a training, and I started to create. I went back to Chiang Mai. I ran workshops. I ran workshops on core values. I ran workshops on purpose and passion and masterminding, and put together a retreat with one of my best friends, our very first retreat. And this was really cool because this was taking all the lessons that I had been learning through my past job and my past work and putting it into place for myself, for, you know, in a leadership role, stepping into a leadership role. Now, this is not to say that I just stopped working for other people. So I actually transitioned, and at this point, I had stepped partially into my own thing. You know, I'd stepped away from my past role, and what I realized was it wasn't that easy. It wasn't like money just started coming into me as a coach. So this is where I took the chance to put all the skills I had learned into use, and I ended up becoming a massive online hustler. So if you guys have been waiting for this point to be like, how has Kristen made this lifestyle work? Is it just sitting on a beach? She's got all these smoothie bowls and her pictures and, you know, dogs that she plays with all the time and like all this, all these crazy friends on rooftop bars. Like, what's really going on? I will tell you. It's the hustle. So I have a list actually of all the ways that I made income from 2015 to 2020. In addition to coaching and yoga and retreats and workshops, here is what I've been doing with my life. Graphic design, freelance writing, virtual assistants, community management, retreat consulting, social media management, ghost writing, book editing. I hosted a virtual conference for a client. I did business strategy consulting, podcast consulting. I had launched a podcast for previous clients before. I was teaching in summer camps. And I even came back to the US for a couple of summers where I worked promo events. I worked in a coffee shop. I was doing website development. I learned how to build websites. I was even a foot model. I was a friend photographed my feet for something. I think I was wearing sandals. I don't remember what it was. And then I've also volunteered teaching yoga, working on a horse farm, doing gardening. Anyways, all this stuff. And this is, of course, in addition to one-on-one coaching and programs, running workshops and retreats in various places around the world, teaching yoga, and then doing Reiki energy healing sessions, Ayurvedic health coaching, so many things. It's been busy. And yeah, so lots and lots and lots and lots of hustling, lots of connections made. So why am I sharing all of this? Is this to get some big like accolades from all you guys about this list? No, that was probably really boring to listen to. But what I want to tell you is it's all about making connections, meeting people, and seeing where you can help. So how did I end up getting into social media management for a while? P.S. I didn't love it. I really didn't. I did not love managing Instagram. I don't really love social media. I do it for myself because I like to share things and I like to connect with others, but managing for others was not my passion. But however, I met someone who had a need and I felt that I could help that need. I could serve them and help progress their business forward. So we did it for a while and it was fine. Same thing with book editing and ghostwriting and helping people to bring their published, you know, their works into the world, into the published world. I've helped people to plan their retreats with, you know, like walking them through the process that I've used, helped people to launch their podcast, to create more organization in their business and to build websites and things like this. So all these kind of things were jobs that I did freelance as I was growing my own business as a coach and facilitator and content creator and all of this stuff. So really what I have to share about this as far as a takeaway is focus on how you can serve others. This is what it's all about. Sometimes you have to get out of your own head and out of your own ego because sometimes our ego is like, well, I don't want to do that stuff. I don't want to do it. But guess what? You're going to learn things. You're going to learn skills. You're going to make connections and you're going to develop a service mindset. I would say of all the tools or mindsets that have helped me on my nomadic journey, it's been having a service mindset. Not only sticking to the things that I want to do or that I think are going to help me on my path, but focusing on others, right? That's what the coaching business is all about. I help others to step into their purpose and their path. And through my freelancing, I helped others to grow their dream business. Yes, it was a bit more behind the scenes than I would have preferred as a Leo who likes to be in the spotlight, but it helped give me skills that I can now use in my business and in every other area of my life in so many ways. So keep your service mindset. How can you serve others? How can you help? Look for opportunities to help and stay humble. You know, stay humble while you're growing. It's really important to just be of service and to say, yeah, like this is going to help this person grow and this is going to give me the skills that I need as well. And the other thing I want to share is, guys, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. I think there is the stigma out there in the entrepreneur world that if you have a job, that you're not a real entrepreneur or you're not a real coach or teacher or whatever, if you have a side gig, you know, maybe I'm just projecting this, but it's an energy that I have felt out there in the entrepreneurial world because, well, I guess this is a little bit out of order, but let me just tell you guys about Chiang Mai. Chiang Mai is a hub of entrepreneurial people, of creatives, of digital nomads. It's absolutely incredible. Such an amazing place. If you're looking to, you know, dive into online business or, you know, become a freelancer or become an entrepreneur or explore creative options for how to serve the world in different ways that don't include having a job, go to Chiang Mai because you will learn. There are events every single day on every area of online business and creativity and self-development and spirituality and all these things. It's absolutely a hub. It's been a home of mine. Again, if you want more information about Chiang Mai, anything from like the best cafes to work at to where to stay to who to connect with, message me because I can hook you up. I literally have written a book about it, so I can send that to you. But what I wanted to say is if I'm owning my own experience, I think I created a bit of the story in my mind that it wasn't okay to be an entrepreneur and to have a side job or to have side income. And I just want to bust that bubble because it's not true. It's just not true. You know, we can expand our service and we can expand our skills and our work in the world. Our purpose can come in many different forms. So like I said before, having a side job, having a job and at all working for others or working on a team to fulfill another mission can absolutely give you space to focus on your passion and to focus on who you are and to explore more. That doesn't mean that when the time is right, you don't need to take that leap because you absolutely do. I've taken that leap many, many times in my journey, and every single time it's challenged me and it's scared me and it's helped me to grow. I've left behind, not, I don't want to say left behind, but I've allowed myself to move on past the, you know, experiences and situations that have fulfilled both my growth and the growth of the other party and let those things go, and new things always come into place. And it's always been a rising spiral. So trust that when you feel that you are at the natural end of a cycle, allow it to go. The next thing will come in. Yeah, it takes jumping across the void for sure. Big time. You have to trust that you're going to be caught on the other side. Otherwise, you'll just end up spiraling in a stagnant loop of knowing that you could be rising up for more in your life. So yeah, all of this is really relevant with other things that were going on in my life at the time. You know, I was releasing a relationship that was really, really important to me, and it had been a huge part of my life. But again, it was also holding me back. It was heavy, and it was taking a lot of my time and energy. And at the time, it was a toxic spiral. So this was something that I had to leave behind in order to rise into my next level. This was back in about 2017. And it was about the time as well that I started to do my first silent retreats, you know, discovering more the power of silence. I was also diving onto a path of tantra and a path of plant medicine and a path of deeper spirituality, deeper exploration of myself. So this is kind of the final stage of where I've been over the past 10 years and leading up to now here in Peru, where I come to you from my bedroom floor on my yoga mat, is it's been this deep spiritual path. There's another part I want to share, which is that this is kind of going back a bit. So it was 2018. I was really kind of on this solo path. I was coaching. I was freelancing a bit. I was running retreats. I was doing my thing, you know, but I really missed something. I missed having a team. I missed working on a team. I missed creating in a team. And I really missed contributing and collaborating and mind jamming with people to solve problems in a business in a way that would feel challenging and growth inducing. And so this was another interesting step, because yeah, I was on my entrepreneurial path. I was coaching. I had my little like solo thing, but I called in a team and I was like, I want to be working in a team. So I have to say manifested, but different events, synchronistic events led to another. And I joined a team called Wi-Fi Tribe, which is a company I still work with now, an amazing community. You know, we run retreats for digital nomads all around the world and people who work online, you know, people who are location independent. And really, so it's been amazing getting to contribute to this community and help it grow and be a part of a team that's solving problems in business, that's, you know, helping to serve more people and become more value aligned and more expansive and create more opportunities for people to grow. So this is all kind of woven together. I don't know if this all makes sense, but these little nuggets along the way, the breadcrumbs of being in community and joining the Chiang Mai Digital Nomad community, and then working, getting the chance to work and be a part of a startup, you know, helping this Wi-Fi Tribe to grow and reach more people. It's all been a part of my entrepreneurial journey as well, and my nomadic journey and my life journey and the spiritual journey, like all of it. It's all wound together. And so really that leads to today. It's been 10 years and I'm here, you know, continuing to explore myself, my spiritual path, and how can I keep adding value to others? How can my passions for learning, for community, for connection, for, you know, these new practices of energy work and tantra and shamanism and healing, how can these all weave together to create a life that feels creative and expansive and fulfilled? And it's not always easy. Like, I guess in this story, in this podcast episode, I haven't shared with you guys enough of the struggles, but there have been a lot. You know, there have been times that I didn't know where my income was going to come from, or I would be working with clients that were narcissists, or I would be feeling drained and tired and like, when do I get to work on my purpose? There were times that I was so codependent in a relationship that I had lost who I was. I didn't know who I was, what I wanted. I was addicted. I was unable to get out of a cycle that was killing my soul, despite the fact that there was also so much love. It was so confusing. I didn't understand what love was. I went through years of not really loving myself over these years, you guys. Like, I think there were probably times that I was using travel as a bit of an escape. It was hard to be in one place. It was hard to stay with the feelings sometimes, you know? And it's really important to be with those feelings. So no, it's not always been easy. And moving away from communities, you know, building friendships and seeing people leave and saying goodbye and dating's been difficult. But I don't focus on what's been difficult about this. I focus on kind of who I'm becoming and the amazing cultural immersions. I mean, God, I didn't even get to explain about all of that. This episode is not going to be long enough. But being able to live in a new context and humble yourself to, you know, to honor traditions and languages and ways of being that are so different from your own at home, and integrate those and to notice yourself changing. So for me, the biggest shifts that I experience are when I go back home and I feel how I'm different from I was, even just the last time I was home, even if it's just 6 months ago or whatever. To feel those differences, I feel like I'm carrying pieces of Thailand, of India, of Bali, of Guatemala, you know, of Italy with me, of Peru, bringing these pieces of beautiful people, beautiful communities, beautiful local indigenous tribes. There's so much depth. There's so much to learn out in the world. It's insane. You know, like that's what's driven me. If you're curious what's driven me on this path for 10 years, it is because there is so much to learn. I am never the same when I leave a place. Even if it's only for a couple of months, I'm changed, I'm imprinted, I'm brought to my knees with emotion at what I feel and what I explore and what I learn. Like, what there is to learn is just endless. And so I'd say if you are someone who wants to keep learning, who wants your life to be a journey of expansion and growth, then living abroad for some time at least is an amazing way to do that. And giving back as well, finding ways to give back to the local communities. This is, again, the service mindset. We don't just do this for, like, how do we make our own income to perpetuate this lifestyle? Giving back to the places where we are living is so important energetically, karmically, and just very, you know, viscerally on a physical plane. It is really bringing the circle into completion, you know, when we're able to be here and to make our presence actually a benefit in some way, whether that's volunteering, whether that's learning the local language or volunteering at a local orphanage or doing agriculture and becoming a part of the sustainable ecosystem of your local community. These are all such important pieces of the journey. So yeah, here we are. You know, I just really want to leave you guys with the notion and the remembrance and the knowledge that you get to design your life. You get to make it look however you want it to look, and you can't fuck it up. It's the right thing. Whatever it is that you choose, whether that's, you know, working in your job at home, or whether it's leaving a relationship that's bad for you, whether it's leaving your job, whether it's traveling for a year and coming back home, whether it's just moving across the country to find a change, to find a new community, whether it's joining the Peace Corps and going to Africa to work with people in need, whatever it is that you decide to do, this is your life. You get to design it. Like, we are here. Like, it's a game. I mean, spoiler alert, this is the game of life. You get to play it how you want to play it. We don't have to take it so seriously. And for the love of God, the college corporate job, 401k, 9 to 5 until you're 65 and retire life is not the fucking route to happiness. Somebody had to say it. That's not it. It's bullshit. And it's an absolute paradigm that is just imparted on us. It's one out of billions of ways that you can design your life. Seriously. If that is the one for you and you fully align with it and you're like, yes, this lights me up inside, fantastic. I am so happy for you. Like, really, I want your happiness. But if you feel like this maybe isn't the exact path for me, then you have every right to explore what that path might be, okay? And I am 100% here to support you with it. So if you even have that little bit of inkling, like, oh, maybe I do want to design my own life differently, reach out to me. We'll have a talk, really. We'll get on the phone. We'll create some options for you because there's so many. I hate to say it, but looking at my list here, you know, just in terms of work-wise, I think there's 25 of them at least. I didn't even tell you guys about being a photographer in Prague and all this other stuff. And I'm not saying this to be like, oh, I did so many things. It's like, it's literally ridiculous how many different things I've tried. And for a side note, I don't say that necessarily in a good way. I have judged myself plenty for being more of a scanner and all over the place than a deep dive into one area. But that is just the way the cookie crumbles. And if you are the same, if you are a multi-potentialite, multi-passionate, never shame yourself for it. It is absolutely incredible. And this is a path of so much experience and light and adventure. And you're going to bring so much light to the world with your different skills and abilities. So I know this episode covered a lot. I hope that it could just provide some insight in some ways. And I just want to be a resource for you. Again, like I said, if anything about lifestyle design or nomadicism or working online or going on a spiritual path, taking a spiritual journey with your life is interesting to you and you're curious about more of how to create this for yourself, reach out to me. Send me a message on Facebook or on email. I'll link my, you know, stuff in the notes, but really, really just, you know, you deserve it. You deserve to design the life that's right for you. That's going to help you be creative and fulfilled and inspire others, because that's why we do this. We're here to be a light. When we light our own fire, we can light the fire for others. So I'm wishing you so much love, so much beauty today, and do something inspiring today. Do something with the fire that is being lit by the inspiration you're feeling from this episode, and take that out into the world in some way and create something amazing. I want to hear about it. All right. Sending so much love. Thank you for listening to this episode. I hope that it's left you with inspiration, energy, and insights that you can take into your own life to really make the shifts that you need to make, if there are any, to bring things into more alignment for you to create a life that's more fulfilling, purposeful, and active. Activated, I should say. So again, I've said a few times in the episode, but this is not about specifically having a nomadic life. That happened to be what's been in alignment for me with my particular way of being. But for you, it could look like anything. The point is you get to design it. You get to design your job, your work in the world, your relationships, your community, your environment. You get to decide. And a lot of this is based on your core values, and a lot of this is based on deep self-knowledge and self-inquiry, asking the right questions to determine what it is that you really want and who you're here to serve and what you're here to do. And just more questions about the ways that you want to be in the world. So if these are questions that you're interested to ask and have some exercises to dive into, what does that life look like that I want to create, that I want to design? I'm going to link some resources to this podcast episode that you can use to dive into these questions, to dive into self-inquiry, and to create a life more in alignment for you. So I hope you enjoy them, and I'm sending you so much love from the Sacred Valley in Peru. Big hugs.